Well, it's great to see you. I'm excited about the word today. We want to give a minute or two for other service to catch up. So we're going to be doing that. We're going to be looking at Numbers chapter 13 and 14. So if you could look in your Bible for that. And if you don't have a Bible, there are some in the seat spaces beside you. And in a minute, we'll also have it up on the screen. So just going to invite you to be part of Focusing on God's Words. I'm pretty excited and want to get right to it here as we're able. Show me Numbers chapter 13 and chapter 14. Here we go. Everybody doing good? All right, so Numbers chapter 13 and chapter 14. And we're going to today continue our focus on what do we need to resolve in our lives if we're not going to go around in circles but really move forward in Christ. And so we're going to look at a passage of scripture is when the children of Israel literally had the chance to choose to move forward into the promises of God, but they chose not to. And literally for the next 38 years of their life, what'd they do? They went in circles. We're going to see that moment and then figure out that we have to resolve to grow with God in the places He opens the door for. Last week we talked about knocking on this door and how important it was to always be knocking. But then there's a reality that happens. You know, when God knocks on the door, and when we knock constantly for God to open the door, at some point He does what? He actually opens the door. And then we've got to go from knocking to what? We got to make a choice to actually enter in. And what the scripture in Numbers 13 and 14 are going to show us, so there are times where you can spend your whole life praying for God to bring you to the promised land and get to the moment of the door being open and choose instead just to go around in circles some more in life. We're going to look at that. So Numbers chapter 13, we're going to start with verse 30. Would you stand with me both in the fellowship hall and here in the sanctuary as we read God's word? Follow along as I read out loud. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, "We should go up and take possession of the land, for we certainly can do it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are." And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they explored. They said, "The land we explored devours those living in it. All the people saw people we saw there were of great size. We saw the Nephilim there, the descendants of Anak come from the Nephilim. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, too small for the job, and we looked the same to them." Verse 1, "That night all the people of the community raised their voices and wept aloud. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole assembly said to them, 'If only we had died in Egypt or in this desert. Why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives and children will be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt and all that we knew in the past?' And they said to each other, 'We should choose a leader and go back to Egypt.' Then Moses and Aaron fell face down in front of the whole Israelite assembly and gathered there. Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of some father's name I'm not going to pronounce, who were among those who had explored the land, tore their clothes and said to the entire Israelite assembly, 'The land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, He will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will swallow them up. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them." Let's pray. Father, I pray that You would fill us with Your Holy Spirit as we have worshiped to not only give You glory and honor, but to put our hearts in the right position for what you want to speak to us now. We pray that we would have ears to hear and eyes to see. Lord, I believe that for each of us in this room, there is a promised land that you are calling us to, a place of destiny and of purpose, of significance and mission. And yet, Father, so often we are like these Israelites who look into the promised land and see that in ourselves we are not able. And so we turn away and we are destined to wander in the wilderness. Lord, would there come a resolution in our hearts that we will grow with you where you call us to be? And speak to every person here that regardless of the giants that they face that are in front of them, that the promises of God are theirs. And I pray that this day, this week, this month, and this year would truly be a year of moving forward into the victory of Christ. For it's in his name we ask it. And everyone said, amen. God bless you as you're seated. If you look at the beginning of your outline, we're talking about resolving to grow with God. And we have to remember, as this first place to fill in says, when we pray with persistence, we must always remember God never answers our prayers based on who we are, but on who we can be in Christ. You and I, when God answers our prayer, when he opens the door, he does not open it to a place that you have already been. He doesn't open it to a place that you're already good at doing that thing. He doesn't open it to a place where you're already strong enough and capable enough. He doesn't open a door for you only to walk through to say, oh, this will take a short time. I can do this really easy. That's not the kinds of doors God opens. The just live by faith. And so when God opens a door that we've been praying to open our life, that we would know our future, that we would know what we're to be about, that door is going to open to things that we're not used to. It's going to open up to things that we're not sure we can do, we know we can't do, because God is using that door not just to answer a prayer, but to grow us into what he wants us to be. Most of us see growing with God like this. We're here in this place of life that we've already kind of got down. I've already kind of figured this out, all right? And you know, God, just grow me right now. And also he's going to grow me. And then when I open the door, I'm going to be like, oh yeah, I'm ready for that. And I'll walk through it. Okay? Is that how God really works? You're supposed to say no at this point. No. Okay? You know what he does? We pray to grow. We pray to be more. He opens a door and we say, there's no way I can face those giants. He said, exactly. That's how we're going to go grow. Now come with me and let's grow. We want to grow all the way out here in the stuff we already know. God wants to take us by faith to where we need to be. You see, what the Israelites did was they got right up to the promised land. They're in Kadesh Barnea. They're literally at the southern border of what's supposed to be their promise. They're at the very foot of it. And they look in and say, I can't do that. I don't know how to do that. There's no way. And they turn away from the promised land of God and they commit the next 38 years of their life to going like this. Because God did open a door. God did give a way to move forward. But they said, no, that's not the right door. So I want you to look with me at this process. Look at what they saw, and you and I are going to find out there are a lot of the same things they saw and felt that you and I feel. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, you'll see the verse on the top of your scripture there. You know, the Bible says, Paul says, that we get the story of Numbers 13 and 14. We get the story of the Israelites coming to the promised land, but saying no, as an example and as a lesson to us so that we would know how to live the right way and not follow the wrong that they did. So there are four things they saw. There are four things you and I say all the time, and I want to talk about them together today. First of all, the Israelites open the door. The Israelites come to the door that God's opened to the promised land, And the first thing they say is this. It's too different. It's too different. We're not. And what they literally say is, I'm not used to this. This is different from what I've known. You see in chapter 14, verse 4, they say we should choose a leader and go back to Egypt because we know Egypt. You know, we were slaves there. We weren't all that happy there. But you know, we know that. We know how to live there. Let's go back there because that's what we know. God's people always have a tendency to want to go back to the past. It's right to treasure those moments when God showed up, when He showed up in that service or that type of ministry. But we tend to always want to say now that God only moves that way. And anything that God brings into our life that's different, that isn't based on how we knew Him in the past, we tend to say no to. We say it's too different. I just want Egypt. I want what I've known. I want the familiar. And God wants us to grow forward. You'll notice that next line. When God opens a door, you have to surrender your personal comfort. You've got to be willing to say yes to something new that you are not used to. Now the Nelsons are all flipping me out because I'm on the wrong side of the room today. You, Joe and Lydia, you're usually over here and you're throwing me all off. But you know, Joe and I, we'll go play basketball a lot. And I can't tell you how many conversations I have with guys who are hungry for God. But you know what? Going to church is what? Too different. That's like, I don't know how to do that. I'm not used to that. And for the very sake of having to go into something that's new, because it's different, it's like, no thanks, I'll stay out here and go like this a little bit more in life. You and I, to grow in God, we've got to be willing to say yes to what's different. You know, we tend to make this mistake, and it's the next sentence. The word growth and more are not synonyms. Most of us just want more of what we've already had. We just want more of the past, more of what we're already familiar with, more of what we're used to. But you know, last time I checked, more of what you already have is not growth. It's fat. It's just fat. All it is something that weighs you down and is lazy and just causes you not to move. You know, when the Israelites come to the door of the promised land and they look in through the spies, they see things that are very different from what they looked before. And they don't know how to do that, and it's different, and they say, you know what, I want more of what I used to have in life. And how often is God opening up a door? How often do we pray with persistence, say, God, change me, bring me victory, don't let depression win over my life, don't let me have one bad relationship after another, tell me where to go in life, what should I do after high school? All these things, and we knock, and we knock, and we knock, and He opens the door, and there's something new and different, and we go, well, that's different. I'm not used to that. And we walk away. You know, I don't know for you what that looks like, but I can tell you there's a place where God's calling you to walk through, and you've got to be willing to say, you know what, I'm not used to that, but that's okay. God's with me. You'll see there, the key to the promised land is growing in God's diversity. There's always a call to experience more of His kingdom, more ways that He touches lives and speaks to us. It's all got to be founded in the Scripture. It's all got to be Christ-centered. But when we live a life that says, the only promised land I'm looking for is what I already know, well, sounds like you're already there. Doesn't sound like you need to go anyplace for that. God's always calling us to more. But Pastor Sean, I'm not used to that. You know, I'm not used to that worship service where people are more expressive. And like Pastor Travis said, God's here right now. And it's a theology of presence. We believe His presence is here right now. And there might be a time to bow, or there might be a time to worship. There might be a time to be quiet and silent. You know, I don't know if you're an extrovert. You got to be open to more, contemplative type things. If you're If you're an introvert, you got to be open to more praise and worship. And it says, well, that's different. I'm not used to that. Let me tell you what, that sentence right there is the talk of somebody who's going in circles in life. Not going to do that because I'm not used to that. You know, well, you know, Pastor Sean, I don't do crowds. I'm not used to kind of going away and kind of focusing. Well, you know, so I'm not going to do the men's advance because I'm not used to that setting. Or, well, you know, I'm kind of a private person and I'm hearing what the scripture says about sharing your needs with one another and praying for one another, but I'm not used to doing that. So at the end of service, I won't go up and pray with anybody. You know, that's not, you know, my marriage is stuck and I don't know what to do with it, but I don't like that counseling thing and I don't want to do a class. That's not kind of me. I'm not used to that. When you find yourself saying, well, I'm not going to do that because I'm not used to that, you're a person who's going in circles in life. Because God is planning to bring you to new territory, to bring you to new places. I don't know what you're not used to being around. Better yet, in church, I'm not sure who you're not used to being around. Because in Pentecost, the Spirit of God brings everybody together. I don't know if you're not used to being in the generation above you or below you. Some people, I'm not used to being around a bunch of white people. I'm not used to being around a bunch of black people. I'm not used to being around the poor. I'm not used to being around Republicans. I'm not used to being around Democrats. I'm not used to be around people who speak in tongues. I'm not used to people who are so focused in the Word of God. I don't know what you're not used to. But when Jesus is the center of a life, the diversity He brings into your life is amazing. Because Ephesians 2 says what? He breaks down the dividing wall of everything that separates us. In this new year, you want to resolve to pray with persistence. But you've got to resolve to grow with God. And resolving to grow with God means, you know what, I'm not used to that. But God, if you said go there, I'm going to go there. I can look in this room and I can see a bunch of people whose stories say, you know what? I did that, Pastor Sean, and I'm better for it. I did that, and God began to speak to me. You know, if God hasn't spoken to you in a while in life, when's the last time you did something that you weren't used to for Him? It's a simple thought, but a powerful one. You can pray all you want, but if you think you're going to see God open the door and the promised land is going to be filled with what you are already used to, you're not going to make the promised land. Isn't that what a life of faith is all about? Number two, not only did it say it's too different, but number two, it's too discouraging. It's just discouraging. Based on what they've already done and who they already are, the promised land is pretty discouraging to them. Chapter 14, verse 3. Why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the sword? Why are they mentioning the sword? Why is that piece there? Because they're going to have to go to war to get the promised land. They're going to have to go into the promised land and face people who have for all their life been soldiers. How long have they been soldiers? No more than 18 months. Because it hasn't been but 18 months, a year and a half, since the Red Sea to where they are. Before that, they were slaves all their life. Now they look into the promised land and they see cities and peoples who are, for their entire life, have been warriors. They've been warriors for 18 months. And they look and say, why in the world would God send us there? We're not that good at that. I'm not that good at that. I can't do that. That's not what I'm good at. They look into the promised land, they see what it's going to take, and they're like, I'm not good at that. How many times have you and I, God called us to a promise in His Word, and we look in there and say, well, yeah, I can't do that. That's not me. I don't read the Bible. I mean, I'm not a big reader. In my marriage, well, I don't talk a lot. You know, I can't figure out how to do that communication thing, or, you know, I just... You know what? That would be great to serve in that ministry, but I'd have to learn how to do that skill. And, well, I don't talk in front of people, or I don't know how to run a class. Or, I mean, just take the list of all the things you're not good at. And I'm telling you, when God opens up the door, you're going to look in, you're going to see things you're not good at that God's calling you to do. Because His promised land is to grow you into all that you could be. He's not interested in showing you a door of all the stuff you can already do. There's no growth in that. There's no destiny in that. There's no more fruitfulness in God's kingdom for that. You'll see in your outline there, when God opens a door, you have to face your practical shortcomings. Your practical shortcomings. Things that are literal skills and talents and just literal ways to reach out to people. It's like, well, I'm not that good at presenting in front of a crowd. Or I don't know how to do counseling, although I really have a heart to see people healed and I have a passion to see them changed. That's God calling you to a skill. You see there, the key to the promised land is growing in the skills of God's calling. Eleanor Powell says, what we are is God's gift to us. What we become is our gift to God. Jesus said it in the parable of the talents. He said, look, there are some servants who had some talents, and the king was coming back expecting them to have done something with it. You and I are the same way. You and I may look into the promised land, and it talks about a healthy family or a more faithful life, freedom from addiction, things like that. And we think, well, I'm discouraged. That's too discouraging. I've already tried that and it hasn't worked. Well, I don't know how to do that. God calls us in those moments to be open to learning a new skill. And sometimes the most spiritual, sacred thing you can do is get an education. Is get the training you need, is learn that new skill that will open up a new part of a career for you. Because the scripture says, Paul says, that you work as if unto the Lord. God uses all these things to put you where He wants you for His time. Spent this last week helping the Thomasdale High School community mourn over the teacher that passed. There are teachers, they are Christian teachers. Everyone, ran into this one guy they hadn't met before. He said, you know, Sean, he's a solid Christian. He said, you know, Sean, I was in business and God really put on my heart. I loved math and I just felt like at some point God was going to call me to school to be a math teacher. And he said, you know, I went back to school for that and it's all worth being here today for these kids in this time. You know, sometimes we almost feel like, well, that's not very spiritual, Pastor Sean. I mean, shouldn't we just pray and God just do it? Well, you know what? God does do things out of nothing, absolutely. Sometimes he just does things. But why don't you look at the stories of the Bible? God asked Moses, what's in your hand? I want to use it. God puts Esther through a difficult process where she becomes a person in a position that at the right day and time can speak up for God's people. Paul uses his Roman citizenship. He uses all of his study when he was a Pharisee. He uses all these things for the glory of God. These skills are something that God wants to use to take a promised land. God takes guys who are craftsmen and helps them, uses them to build the temple. Daniel studies and has great wisdom, and God uses him in those studies. David learns to take care of the lion and the bear, and one day he's got the skill to take care of a giant. You know, part of going in circles in life is to become a person who says, well, this is all I'm going to be. And that's not an age thing. That's a spirit thing. That's a spirit thing that says, you know what, I could learn that skill so I could go help in that ministry. Yesterday was the national awareness for sex trafficking. It was a day of prayer that we continue to pray that God would just eradicate such a great evil among us. And this Wednesday starting up, there's going to be a a class started by Dawn on the Just Church. And, you know, I can not just pray for that. I could begin to learn the skills and the perspective and the understanding of how to participate in actually making that happen. I can't tell you how many people. This Wednesday night, Financial Peace University starts. I can't tell you how many people make life so, it's so dramatic because they've never learned a few basic financial budgeting skills. And everything's a big spiritual warfare. And sometimes I always say, it's not a big spiritual attack. You just don't know how to manage your money. And that's why you're in this great crisis again. And you know what? Absolutely. I mean, we all get there. It's okay. Let's get out of it. But once we get out of it, how about we learn a few new skills about managing our money so we don't get back in it? Instead of just praying, we never get back in it. Some of us in our marriages, there's this again, there's just kind of like, well, I'm not good at that. It's like, well, okay, you know, you've got the same five pieces for the last 5 years you've been trying to use for your marriage, and all you do is switch the pieces around and try again. How about adding a new piece? Maybe you'll get something new. There's this call in our life, and sometimes the most holy, sacred thing you can do is train and learn. Some of them are kingdom. I mean, you're learning about the kingdom. Some of them, that's a skill for a job that puts me in a new position one day. That doesn't seem very spiritual at all. Yeah, until God says, I want you there at that point, and without that skill, you can't be there. Go grow and be the person God's called you to be, because when you look in the promised land, I'm telling you what, you're going to see things you can't do. And when you see things you can't do, don't turn around and go in circles. Say, you know what, God, with you, I want to learn to become that. I want to become that. I want to grow. Today's decisions about what I develop in my skill are my investment for tomorrow. I want to encourage you to be part of that. A life that is going towards victory says, I'm not afraid to learn a new skill. And I want to encourage you with these classes coming up that could be a place where you learn them. And I'm proud of the church. You know, we've got things about spiritual warfare. We've got things about prayer, but we've got things like financial management. We've got a recovery in Christ that teaches us how to get through the addictions of life. We've got marriage classes and things like that. We've got practical skills that are part of being a godly person. I want to encourage you to take advantage of them and make a decision in this new year. You can pray all you want, but if you think the door you're going through is filled with what you're already good at, you're not headed towards the promised land. God's not interested in glorifying your small abilities. He's interested in showing you all of his abilities in miraculous ways. Number three, the Israelites come, they knock on the door, God opens the door of the promised land. Too different, too discouraging. I'm not all that good at that. We're going to go to point number three. It says, you know what? It's just too difficult. It's too difficult. I don't know if I'm strong enough for this. And that's that saying there. I'm not strong enough. Look what they say in chapter 13, verse 31. We can't attack those people. They're stronger than we are. We don't have enough strength to do this. This isn't who we are. When God opens a door, you have to face your personal shortcomings. Last point about it being too discouraging is we got to face some of our practical shortcomings. There's some things we need to learn to grow in as a person in life. This number three about it just being too difficult is that it's the idea that it's going to take some strength. And I don't know if I can hold out that long. I don't know if I can really do that. What happens when the pressure comes on and I'm in the grind and I've got to persevere? I don't know if I'm strong enough for that. It's just too difficult. God opens those doors, and he always opens them, and always part of answering in a way that is about who we can be, not who we are, is we'll see some of our character weaknesses. We'll see some places that, you know what, I've got to grow in being somebody with a little bit more faithfulness, a little bit more patience, a little bit more compassion, a little bit more love. I'm going to look at his call and say, I'm not that good. I've got some character work to do to get there. I talk to so many people. I can't tell you, half of my job at Cornerstone, and actually You know, Ephesians 4 says, my job is to equip people for the work of the ministry. That means it's supposed to help you kind of find that spot where you're called the promised land. I can't tell you how many people get into a ministry and within 5-6 weeks are like, you know what? I'm just having conflict in that ministry. Nobody wants to do it my way. And I'm kind of like, and they're like, so I won't do it. I'm like, no, that's exactly why you stay there. God's working on your character. This isn't all, I mean, yeah, work on the skill. That would be nice to get better. But guess what? What God really needs more than anything else is the right character. And he's giving you someone different to deal with. It's something that kind of discourages you because you're not that great at it. And this is a character issue right now. Stay in that ministry. Work it out. Don't run away from that. Don't go in circles. Let's, you know, until what? You know, why does the average pastor stay in the church less than 2 years? Because after the honeymoon is over, what happens? Someone complains. So what happens? Well, I don't like to complain. I'll go away. And where are you going to go next? To a place where nobody's complaining? They're complaining there too. What you got to do? That's a character issue. That's not a them issue. That's a you issue. That's a graciousness issue. That's a patience issue. That's a mercy issue. And what you and I need to learn how to do is say yes to growing Christ-like character. That's that key there. The key to the promised land is growing in Christ-like character. You know, I shouldn't tell too many Y stories, sorry, but I was at the Y the other day. I was talking to this dude, super nice guy. I've seen him around forever. I'm like, so what are you doing in life? And he's like, man, I got a song for Beyonce. I'm waiting to connect with her. I got a song for Jay-Z. You know, I'm like, that's great, but like, what are you doing like right now? Like, I mean, that's great that you got someone for, I'm sure Beyonce can't. And he's like, what are you doing? I'm like, well, I don't know Beyonce, so it's kind of, I don't know what I'm doing. It's just like, we all want to hit it big, but we don't want to become big. You know, we don't want to mature up a little bit. Our superintendent for the Assemblies of God, our national superintendent, it's a prayer he heard someplace, but when he became the superintendent, he prayed this prayer he heard. He said, God, build my foundation so deep that it can handle the greatest weight you ever want to put upon it. And some of us, you know, we want to be as tall as a redwood, but have roots as deep as a pumpkin. And it just doesn't work. And I always go, you know? And, you know, we've got to learn that it's not just about getting more. It's not about hitting the big time. It's not about when everybody sees how much talent I have. It's when the maturity of my life gets to the point that I can handle what it really takes to live in the promised land. That's what it takes. You'll see some of those blanks there. It says more without, and here's what, more without maturity is just a mess. More without maturity is just a mess. When God's open doors always show you where your character is weak. What do the Israelites do? The Israelites see that's different, I'm discouraged, and that's difficult. And what do they assume? They say, God's sending us there for what? To die, to be defeated. He's not sending you there. He's sending you there for victory. He's sending you there to grow. He's sending you there so one day you are the kind of person who can hold on to the victory of Christ. You know how many times this week as I was talking with teachers at Thomasdale High School that I tell them this line, I said, you know what? Everybody prays. God, help me make a difference in this world. And then what God always comes back to him says, can I trust you with a bunch of problems then? Can I trust you with problems? Because I think somehow we think, God, help me change the world. And by the way, give me people who don't need any work. Put me in a situation that's already perfect where I change the world. What? That didn't make any sense. God, use my life. He puts me in a relationship. He puts me in a place that's hard. He puts me in a place that changes. I just complain about it instead of actually realizing that's why I'm there. Say, God, this is why I'm here. It's a problem. This is where I make a difference. This isn't where I run away. This is where I go in. Because God has a promised land. They've got giants, but those giants are for my victory, not for my defeat. They're to teach me to grow. I don't want to go work out. I'm too out of shape. What? No, no, no. I'm not as big as the giant. That's why I go that way. Because then God, through me, will grow me. I want to encourage you in these things. Last one. It's too different. It's too discouraging. It's too difficult. Last one. Too delayed. Oh, man. When is this, you know, when is this going to happen? How long do I have to do this? Notice what they say in chapter 13, verse 28. But the people who live there are powerful, and their cities are fortified and very large. You know what? God, I don't know if this is ever going to take place. It's so long, maybe it will never happen. God's given me something that's going to take a while. I'm not just going to go in there and say, by the way, I now rule. Now all of a sudden, I'm going to have to walk in that, and there's fortified cities I've got to get past. There are trained armies I've got to get past. There's not just one or two or three groups of people. There are all these groups of people. Let's just go back to the desert and walk around a little bit. You and I tend to want to find something, and it just automatically works. We just step in, and everybody starts a parade for us because we're here. That's not how life works. That's not the promised land. That's not where God sends us. He sends us a place to say, hey, that's going to take a little bit of time. Yeah, do I really want to? Yeah, you know, but I could just go back to Egypt and be a slave. I've got a house and some food. That's going to take work. You know, when we get to the book of Joshua, how long does it take? You know, most scholars will say it takes about 7 years this way, 7 years that way to take care of the promised land. Instead of just 38 years. 38 years. And done. Because that took too long. You know, all of us, I tell you, the place I see this the most, and it's so, I hate when the enemy does this, are romantic relationships based on sin. Well, but Pastor Sean, I've got this here in the wilderness, and it's not great, but it's pretty good, and they're here with me. I'm afraid to be alone. I'm afraid to step past where they are and really dedicate my life to being in Christ. I don't want to do that. At least out here, I've got somebody. There, I don't know how that's going to go. And I've seen people 38 years in a relationship that really, it's mediocrity, it's compromise. Because they're not willing to go from, okay, you know what, this is going to take a while to become the person I need to become. It's going to take a little while for God to finish up. This no in this relationship isn't a no from God. It's a no here, it's a yes over there. But I just want immediate comfort. I want something now. And so what I do is I just choose this. I never step through the door. And this is what I do with that person. 38 years of going in circles. Now, you know what the great news is? Even if you're married to that person and you're out here, you can still choose to go in here. This is not victim time. This is not, well, I can't do anything. No, you can. You can step through and watch God begin a transformation process. But it seems impossible. I can't imagine that changing. Look, you got there somehow over the years. You can get out of there somehow over the years. But you're going to have to walk. You're going to have to live a life of faith. And guess what? You're going to have to grow. You're just going to plain old have to grow. And God will be faithful. Pastor Sean, I don't think I can do it. Yeah? 5 loaves, 2 fish. It's not enough. You're right. You don't have enough for what's in there. But if you give it to Christ, He does. Don't stay out here. Do not stay out here. Walk through. Joshua said, look, if God is with us, if this is God's calling, they can't stop us. We do not have to be afraid. It's different. There's discouraging things about what we can't do. It's difficult. We don't know if we've got that kind of character. It's going to take a while. I don't know if I can wait that long. Man, walk in the promised land. Don't walk out here. Don't spend your life doing this. Say yes. In a moment, we're going to take communion, and you see on the back of the outline, it's just the life of going in circle. Egypt, Red Sea, wilderness, spy the land, want to go back to Egypt, need some deliverance. All right, I'm in the wilderness. Spy the land, nope, back to Egypt, deliverance. I mean, it's just this life. Lots of Christians in this circle. They can tell you all the powerful times God moved in their life, and they're still doing this. God's in the wilderness. God's in Egypt. You can go talk to him there if you want. But he's interested in taking you here. We come to communion because that's the point where we realize, God, I don't have to stay in the wilderness if I don't want to. Jesus, by the way, what did he say he was in the scripture? One of the things he said in John? He's a what? Oh, yeah, he's the door. Yeah, he said that, didn't he? I'm the door. Walk through. In me, you can get there. I'm going to ask you to stand for a moment, and I'm going to release both services to communion, our worship leaders. I've asked our elders to do communion up here today because I just thought it was an important day for them to lead us. And as they do this morning, I want to invite you to take a moment of worship so the ushers can distribute communion. And my prayer is that you will walk out of here today with a resolve in your heart. It'll show up on the bulletin connection card that you're going to fill up. So, you know, I'm going to go take that class. Show up by signing up for the men's advance or the youth advance. Just because you're not used to it doesn't mean you shouldn't go. But most of all, I want to make sure that you know Christ, because you got to make that step. And though it's different, something maybe you've never known before, God is able. Let's take this moment of worship. I'm going to let the elders lead in communion here, and I'm going to lead in communion downstairs to be with the rest of our family.